On New Year's Eve, while I was pregnant, my husband, Raphael Phillips, abandoned me on the roadside to celebrate with his female assistant. From the passenger seat, the assistant pretended to be considerate, suggesting he should bring me along. But Raphael glanced at my shivering figure and said coldly, "Jenna has been doing well lately, and I want to spend New Year's Eve with her. You're pregnant, so you shouldn't come anyway. Besides, you don't understand romance. I won't be coming home tonight. Don't bother me or Jenna, do you understand?" Without waiting for my response, he sped away. As I turned, I saw the extravagant fireworks display Raphael had gifted Jenna. It was worth millions. Smiling bitterly, I walked alone to the hospital to terminate my pregnancy. After this, I would never need to beg Raphael to accompany me to prenatal checkups again. Clutching my belly, I made my way to the hospital. When I woke up after the procedure, the first thing I saw was fireworks blossoming outside the window, but my vision grew increasingly blurry. My poor unborn child would never get the chance to see how beautiful the fireworks outside were. Behind me, a young nurse exclaimed enviously, "That's the Hyperion Ventures' president, Raphael Phillips, who put on this five-hour million-dollar firework display for his girlfriend. How romantic." In our 10-year relationship, Raphael had never set off fireworks for me. He always dismissed the idea with disdain, saying, "It only lasts a few minutes. What's the point? Lily, you're so wasteful." He never understood that I loved fireworks the most, and the person who least understood romance had always been him. Taking a deep breath, I called my mentor. "Professor, you mentioned taking me abroad for further studies. I've decided, I'm going." Excited, my mentor replied, "Lily, with your piano talent, you should have long been a shining star in the music world. Too bad. Too bad I gave up the piano for Raphael, becoming a full-time housewife, never touching the keys again. I never imagined that after marriage, my relationship with Raphael would bring me nothing but pain, over and over." After a week of recovery in the hospital, I returned home. Surprisingly, Raphael was there. After all, he had to work during the day and accompany Jenna at night. It had been a long time since he'd been home. I said nothing more, heading to the piano room to practice. But the room was in disarray, and my cherished piano was broken. This piano, which my mother had spent her life savings to buy, was my most treasured possession after her passing. Raphael walked in nonchalantly and said, "Jenna thought it was fun last time, and accidentally broke it." The state of the piano made it clear it had been deliberately destroyed. I opened the piano lid, revealing the keys, now deeply scratched and dented. On top lay a pink bow-tied pair of underwear. Raphael quickly snatched the underwear, stammering, "It's Jenna's. She forgot to take it last time. There's nothing between us. Don't overthink, okay?" The sight of the underwear on the piano told me all I needed to know. They had even done that on it. Looking at Raphael, all I felt was disgust. Perhaps out of guilt, he grabbed my hand and changed the subject. "Lily, let me take you to your prenatal checkup." He had forgotten that I'd just returned from the hospital and no longer needed prenatal care. I shook my head, looking at him. "Raphael, that won't be necessary. The baby is already—" Before I could finish, his phone rang. He quickly picked it up and walked away. When he returned, just as I expected, he was ready to leave. "There's an emergency at the office. You'll have to go to the checkup on your own this time." I knew too well that it was Jenna on the other end. If she called, he would always leave, no matter what. I had tried to stop him in the past, but it only made him resent me more. A sudden, sharp pain twisted through my stomach. I guessed it was the sequelae of the abortion. Seeing me clutch my belly in pain, Raphael frowned. "Lily, can you stop using these tricks to fool me? You think just because you're pregnant, I have to revolve around you every second?" With that, he slammed the door and left. I took out the medication prescribed by the doctor, swallowed it, and lay down. Sleep finally eased the pain. When I woke up and scrolled through my phone, I saw Jenna's latest social media post. "My boss is the best. Got cramps from my period, and he came rushing to take care of me." I couldn't help but laugh bitterly. To Raphael, I wasn't even as important as his assistant. A moment later, my phone rang. It was Raphael. For a fleeting moment, I thought he might finally care about me, but his urgent voice on the other end crushed that hope. "Lily, which brand of sanitary pads do you usually use? Jenna is such a scatterbrain, she forgot to buy hers." My heart sank. Raphael was willing to buy sanitary pads for another woman. I remembered a time when my period came unexpectedly, staining my white pants with blood. I had no pads, and the blood was glaringly obvious. I asked Raphael to buy me some. However, his response was one of utter disgust. "You want me, a man, to buy sanitary pads? Are you insane? Do you know how embarrassing that would be for me?" But now, there was no disgust in his tone, only concern for Jenna. Raphael anxiously continued, "Do all girls have such bad cramps during their periods? Poor Jenna. Do you know any remedies? Should I get her medicine? Maybe red sugar water? A heating pad?" He was terrified of causing Jenna any discomfort. Even during my pregnancy, Raphael had never shown me this level of concern. I couldn't help but find our years of love utterly laughable. "Can't you just Google it?" With that, I hung up and ignored him. The next morning, Raphael called me again, his tone angry. "Lily, you've grown bold. How dare you hang up on me? I'm giving you a chance now. Come over and cook for Jenna, and I'll forgive you." Then he hung up. I took the divorce papers with me and went to Jenna's place. It was time to end this farce with Raphael. Jenna greeted me with an apologetic tone, though her words were anything but. "Sorry, Lily, I just had a sudden craving for your sweet and sour pork ribs, but you're pregnant, and cooking smoke isn't good for the baby. Yet Sir Raphael insisted on having you come to make them for me." Her voice was full of the favoritism Raphael showered on her, while I felt like nothing more than their maid. Ignoring Jenna, I placed the papers in front of Raphael. "Sign this, and I'll cook." Without even glancing at the document, Raphael signed it. I asked, "Aren't you afraid this might be a divorce agreement?" He sneered. "So what if it is? Nothing is more important than Jenna's happiness. Besides, you're pregnant. You wouldn't dare divorce me. Who else would want you?" His dismissive attitude spoke volumes. I said nothing more and went to the kitchen to cook. This would be the last meal that I would ever make for Raphael. Back then, he loved my cooking. cooking, but at some point, he began to despise it. From the kitchen, I could hear Raphael and Jenna's laughter in the living room, their joy cutting into me like shards of glass. When I finished cooking, my weakened body almost collapsed from exhaustion. Jenna approached to support me. Her voice was syrupy sweet as she spoke. "Lily, thank you for your hard work. Your clothes got dirty. Let me take you to the bedroom to change." She led me to her room, where the floor was littered with clothes and condoms. Flushing, Jenna feigned embarrassment and explained, "Oh, my boyfriend is just too much to handle." Then, as if it were an afterthought, she asked with a sly smile, "Lily, is Sir Raphael just as passionate with you?" My expression turned icy. It was clear why Jenna had brought me here, to make me see this. I had always thought Raphael's reluctance was due to work stress, but now I knew the truth. He simply didn't want me. Every time I approached him, he would push me away with disdain, calling me disgusting. Even my pregnancy had been an accident caused by Raphael's drunkenness. Standing amidst the scattered condoms, I sneered, "Miss Jenna, perhaps you should worry about whether your boyfriend can keep up with this frequency in the future." Her face instantly darkened. When we returned to the dining table, Raphael was busy piling food onto Jenna's plate. His tone was indulgent. "Jenna, eat more." Jenna pouted and teased, "Sir Raphael, you're spoiling me. How can there be such a perfect boss like you?" Then, she turned to me with a sweet smile, placing a large spoonful of crab roe into my bowl. "Thank you, Lily, for cooking today. I didn't touch my food." Jenna's expression twisted into one of grievances, and tears began to stream down her face. "Did I upset you, Lily? Why aren't you eating?" Raphael's face darkened as he glared at me. Without warning, he slapped me hard across the face. "Lily, don't be so ungrateful." Grabbing my head, he shoved the crab roe into my mouth before I could resist. By the time he was done, red welts were already spreading across my skin. Once, Raphael had promised me he'd always remember my severe allergy to crab roe and would never let me near it. Yet now, he was the one force-feeding it to me. Jenna, who had been smirking a moment ago, suddenly feigned fear. "Sir Raphael, Lily looks terrible. Could she have some kind of contagious disease?" Raphael's gaze filled with revulsion as he looked at me. Without warning, he dragged me to the door and threw me out. "Lily, you're disgusting." Kicking me aside, he sneered, "Don't you dare dirty Jenna's house." I clung weakly to his pant leg, struggling to breathe. "Raphael, please, call an ambulance. I'm begging you." However, his response was the slam of the door. Fortunately, a kind stranger found me and rushed me to the hospital. When I went to the reception desk to collect my medication, I ran into Raphael and Jenna. Raphael shot me a disdainful glance while Jenna, gloating, said, "I told Sir Raphael it was just a minor cut, but he insisted on bringing me here to get it treated. He was worried about an infection." Raphael's voice was full of concern. "A minor cut? It was bleeding. How could I not worry? But when I had miscarried, he hadn't cared at all about my pain." Looking at me, Raphael said impatiently, "It's just an allergic reaction. Do you really need to stay in the hospital this long?" Luckily, he didn't know I had already terminated the pregnancy. Otherwise, his actions would have been even more cruel. As if granting me charity, he added, "Fine, I'll take you to your prenatal checkup later." Without waiting for my response, he went to the counter to register, leaving me alone with Jenna. She sneered, her tone dripping with malice. "Raphael is so good to you, but if he truly cared, he wouldn't have watched fireworks with me or stayed at my place." "Lily, you can't win against me. Raphael loves me now. You, with your sagging skin and stretch marks, are nothing more than an old pregnant woman he's sick of. He even said your stretch marks are revolting. Every time he sees them, he feels disgusted." My mind went blank. I hadn't realized Raphael thought that way. Those stretch marks, so repulsive to him, were the only traces our child had left in this world. Jenna smirked at me, then slapped herself hard across the face twice. Tears welled up as she cried, "Lily, I swear I didn't seduce Sir Raphael. Please don't hit me anymore, okay? I promise I'll stay far away from him so I won't upset you." Hearing her cries, Raphael rushed back. The moment he saw Jenna's tear-streaked face, his heart ached as if it might shatter. His eyes blazed with fury as he looked at me. Without hesitation, he kicked me in the stomach. "Lily, is this how you treat Jenna when I'm not around? We're just colleagues. Only people with filthy minds see filth everywhere," Raphael thundered. I knelt on the ground in pain, clutching my abdomen as a sharp, searing ache spread through me. I felt warm blood trickling down. Raphael wasn't satisfied with my suffering. He pressed his foot against my back, forcing me to the floor. "Lily, apologize to Jenna." Jenna shot me a smug look. Seeing me in such a pitiful state only made Raphael act more ruthlessly. He stomped on my hand. He knew how much my hands meant to me as a pianist. In the early years of our relationship, Raphael used to carefully massage my hands with oil every day, saying, "Lily's hands are destined to become those of a great pianist. I'll take care of them for you." Now, looking at his foot crushing my hand, all I felt was bitter irony. "Raphael, let me go," I said, my voice trembling. His foot pressed harder, and I heard the sickening crack of bones breaking. Still, I lowered my head, tears streaming down my face as I whispered to Jenna, "I'm sorry." Only then did Raphael remove his foot. "Let this be a lesson. If you dare bully Jenna again, you'll regret it." As his figure disappeared into the distance, something inside me broke completely. A few days later, I stood outside the airport, preparing to leave with my teacher. Before boarding, I sent Raphael one last message. "Raphael, I'm leaving. I wish you and Jenna a long and happy life together."